We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
Talk about you running for governor first surfaced in October of last year. We'd all been expecting for years that Angel Taveras and Gina Raimondo would be candidates this year. So why didn't we hear about your campaign until such a relatively late stage?
Well, I was very focused on my work as Deputy Assistant Secretary for International Language and equipping America's students with language programs. But I am deeply concerned about the fact that we have a generation of Rhode Islanders who are worried about whether they can find a job and worried about whether they can raise their family here. And I think that that situation has gone on for too long, and I decided to run for governor to begin to put an end to that.
When did you make up your mind that you would be running for governor?
At the beginning part of this year. I began in the fall talking with people, asking neighbors and friends, and trying to talk to as broad a cross-section of people as possible to ask their ideas and their input. Throughout that, I came away deeply worried about the future of the state, but also very inspired and by many people who believe that we really can turn the place around.
Let's go to Scott.
Just a little geography in Rhode Island. What village is Pasco? What town is it in?
Oh, Scott, are we going to go through this?
Well, sure. I'd like to know.
Pasco is actually my phone number comes from Pasco because it starts with 678.
So. Okay, but what town is it in?
It's in Burleville.
That's right. Very, very good. How about Popperscotch Point? What town's that in?
That's in Bristol, Scott.
Excellent.
How are we doing?
Because you're doing very, very well.
All right.
Clay, as we know, Rhode Island has the nation's highest unemployment rate at 9.1%, and the state is often depicted as having an unfriendly business climate. If you're elected governor, would you support lowering the estate tax, the corporate tax, or any other taxes to try to improve the business climate?
We have to look at tax as one component of how we can make Rhode Island competitive. That means we have to look at our school system. We have to look at how we are going to be attractive to people. And yes, absolutely, I think we should be looking at taxes as well.
All right. It's something to look at. You're not willing to commit to any concrete changes right now.
I think that Rhode Island's gotten into trouble by making one-off policy suggestions without looking at the comprehensive picture. Often if we change a tax, I want to be very sure that particularly in this climate, we have such limited resources that that's going to be the tax that really is going to make a difference. Whether it's property tax or another tax, I think we have to look carefully.
Governor Chafee says his approach has been a focus on the fundamentals. Critics say he hasn't brought enough urgency to improving the economy. How would your approach be different?
I'm going to roll up my sleeves every single day to make sure that every single department and agency is actively trying to get things going, to get things growing. My approach to government is that I think that it really does have a role to make things better, to get things going. I don't take and don't believe that government should take a laissez-faire approach. I think that we really need to be pushing things along, investing in education for sure, but also investing in our small businesses, making sure that there is access to capital for people who want to get something started. That's something that I've come out strong about and that I think is going to make a real difference.
For projects like the Sakonnet River Bridge, should these be financed with user fees like tolls for the people who drive over it? Or are all Rhode Islanders, even people from Burleville who aren't likely to drive over that bridge, should finance this together? What do you think?
I think we need to finance it together. We are a small state. We need a comprehensive plan for the infrastructure of the state. Rhode Island grew because we were at the intersection of the movement of goods, ideas, and people. If we're going to grow again, it's because we are still at that intersection, that we're making sure that goods are flowing through our state. That means that our bridges are open, that our bridges are repaired, and yes, absolutely, that they are not being held back by user fees in one part of the state. This is for everyone. It's a question of fairness. It's a question of growth.
We're talking here with Democratic gubernatorial candidate Clay Pell. And Clay, I'd like to ask you about how the three major Democratic campaigns are talking about a so-called people's pledge to keep third-party spending out of the race for governor. Do you think all three campaigns are sincere about trying to reach such an agreement?
I think that I believe that money and the money of special interest in politics is a real problem in this state. I can't speak to the other candidates, but what I can speak to is the fact that I have decided not to take contributions from PACs or from state lobbyists, to take a very specific and active stance against the impact of outside special interest money in politics.
You put $1 million into your campaign. How much more money are you willing to put in?
I want to get this state going again, and I want to make sure that people understand the possibility to think differently, to bring a different approach, to make sure that we're investing in our schools, to make things competitive for our state's economy. If that means investing all of my time and energy and certainly investing resources, I will absolutely do that.
But you won't put a dollar figure on it.
We're 2 weeks into the campaign, too early to tell.
You know, the casino revenue is gambling revenue is the third largest, as you know, source of state revenue. And it looks like Massachusetts is going to be, again, trying to poach some of this money by putting these casinos along our borders, particularly with the latest proposal for Fall River. How can Rhode Island, which didn't do a good job with this in the first place, how can Rhode Island protect our gambling revenue?
Well, I think that this should not be a surprise to Rhode Islanders, nor is it a surprise to me that we face an incredible economic crisis and that it's going to be potentially made even worse by diminished returns from our third largest revenue stream.
Were the voters in Newport smart to deny table games to Newport Grand? Because it looks like that decision is really going to hurt that facility.
I think that this is something which you need to have the support of the local community and of the state to go forward on. This is an area that absolutely, if that's what the voters of Newport felt, that's who should be determining whether or not they have a casino in their backyard.
One of the state's largest teachers unions, the National Education Association, Rhode Island, is among your most enthusiastic supporters. So are there any major issues upon which you disagree from that union?
Well, we'll have to see. My belief is that we need a change in our educational policy here in this state, that we have to make sure that all of our students have the opportunity to get through school, that we aren't getting kids losing them along the way, and that they have the opportunity for art and music, language, sports, all of these things. Well, time will tell where there are differences. I've been very clear about where I stand, and I welcome everyone's support across the state so that we can make our schools better and stronger for all the kids here.
How about charter schools that are run by private enterprises? Is that a good thing to do for the system?
I think that there are great things that happen in our schools in this state. Some are charter schools, some are not. But what the key has to be is how we can make great education, inspiring teachers, chance to innovate and think creatively, making sure that that is accessible to all of our students. And my focus as governor will be to make sure that we are able to bring in innovative practices to public schools across the state.
How do we breach this enormous gap that we have, not just in Rhode Island, but across the country, but it's especially large here, between the socioeconomic background of the parents and the achievement of the kids, their kids?
It's an enormous problem, and it's one of the reasons that schools and our education, improving education, is more important than ever.
How do we do that, though?
Well, you do it by providing the wraparound services that students need in school. You do it by looking at what Central Falls has done to increase their graduation rates. You do it by creating alternative pathways so that kids can get through school while developing the skills they need in the workforce. And you do it by allowing for the creativity and the individual attention in the school system so that individual needs can be taken into account, and you can inspire students with the spark of learning that will get them fully engaged. Those are the things that you can do. And by the way, you have to make sure that you are investing in the society as well, so that people have the opportunity to go to school having had breakfast, so that people aren't working two or three jobs at skills and wage levels well below their potential. That's why it's important that we raise the minimum wage as well. All of these things will help because it's a wraparound effect that we need to get to.
It looks like at some point the state will be asked to provide money to keep Rhode Island's version of Obamacare going. Do you think that is something the state should provide money for?
It's something that I think we need to find a way to keep going. This has been a positive step, and I've run into many, many people who've signed up for insurance through the Rhode Island Exchange. This is the type of thing where we've made progress. We certainly shouldn't lose our progress now. But there is the possibility of extended funding from the federal government. There's a possibility that Christy Ferguson talks about with monetizing revenue streams in the future. So I think there are different possibilities that are on the table. The bottom line is we need to find a way to make sure that something we've invested in so that to lower the cost to healthcare, to increase access and to reduce the cost for small businesses, we need to make sure that that keeps going.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And Democratic gubernatorial candidate Clay Pell.
Honored to be with you. Thank you so much.